All right.
Well, we've been looking at some of the Christmas story. Before we get in our prayers, we always like to get into the Word of God. And once again, if you have a prayer request, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get in our prayer request, we always like to get into the Word of God just to kind of get ourselves grounded and rooted. And we've been looking at the story of Jesus, obviously the Christmas story this week. And today we're going to look at the Magi, the visit of the Magi. In Matthew chapter 2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The visit of the Magi. And we had a guest on, just last week, I think, and talking about the Magi, and really fascinating. It has typically been believed that they came from the region of Persia. However, our guest had done a lot of research in the area and found that they were really Nabataeans, that these were the Nabataeans lived there on the Gulf there and were really only probably a 4 or 5 day trip away. The Nabataeans were traders. This was a trading company or country. And the Nabataeans were famous for their trade, and the trade routes traveled through them, and so they handled most of the trade that went through that area. They were kind of like, for lack of a better word, like a trucking company, basically. You bring all your stuff. They collect all the stuff from the coast and bring it back and then trade it out to the east, and they'd collect all the stuff from the east and transport it back to the west and to all the people in Israel and other regions. So they were kind of the hub, you know, from east and west. All the goods would gather there in Nabataea, and then they would trade them out, send them out from there. And so the Nabataeans were constantly on the move. They would have had well-established trade routes to travel into Jerusalem and into Israel. And one of the main currencies of the Nabataeans was frankincense and myrrh, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were the kind of main commodities of that area. They didn't produce a lot of things, but that is what they produced. And so the gifts are perfect for that region and that area. And so these are wise men from the area of the Nabataeans, some probably Arabs, and they were looking for the star. They had been studying. They would have been well exposed to Jewish teachings and Jewish beliefs. Now, the Nabataeans were not followers of Yahweh. They would have been pagans, but like many pagans, they you know, had many gods and would study many gods and many different religions. And one of those that they studied was Judaism. And clearly these wise men had read the scriptures and they had heard about this Messiah. They had studied the scriptures and learned about the Messiah and were looking for him and saw the star in the east and said, hey, that means the King of the Jews has been born. And they immediately go to look for him, go to pay homage to him. Now, what they understood about this and what they understood about who this king was and what they understood about Jesus, we don't know. But what we do know is they acted on what they knew. You know, it's unlikely that their knowledge of the Jewish Messiah was perfect. It's unlikely that their knowledge of who he was and what he was and what he was meant to do was, you know, there's no reason to expect they had any real understanding of that. Even his own disciples struggled to understand that after 3 years of him teaching them. So it'd be a lot to expect these guys to have that kind of knowledge. But what they did know was that there were prophecies of a special king. What they did know was that there was prophecies of this Messiah, this great and mighty king who would come for the people of Israel and whose kingdom would benefit all peoples. What they did know is the sign for him appeared in the sky, and they wanted to go and give honor to him. They didn't have great knowledge, probably, of who or what Jesus was, but what knowledge they had spurred them to make a long trip. And even if it's, you know, maybe not months, we've heard before months, or previous guest last week said it might have been just a week-long trip. But still, a week-long trip on those roads is not an easy trip. It spurred them to bring very expensive gifts. It spurred them to take the time, you know, it may only be a week-long trip, but that's, you know, basically it's taking you 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, you figure, by the time they get there, get to Jerusalem, talk to Herod, get over to Bethlehem. I mean, you know, it's going to take some time even after they get into the city. And so it's a good 2.5 weeks that they're taking out of their lives to go and honor this Savior at the bare minimum. At great cost, great expense, cost of time, cost of money, based on nothing more than a sign. And yet they believe in it utterly and absolutely. Look what they say to Herod. They say, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." There's not even a question of, hey, we saw the sign in the east. Where does, what does this mean? Has there been a king born? Because we saw the sign. We're wondering if that's a confirmation of something, or are we off base here? None of that. They're like, yeah, it's all signs. It's got to be true. King's got to be born. So they go to who they think is the king of the Jews, Herod, because he's who the Romans had placed up in his position, probably thinking it's Herod's son or daughter. Well, son, not daughter, I guess, is king. But Herod doesn't know. And he's disturbed because Herod sees this as a threat. And Herod was a paranoid and vicious man to begin with. So, you know, we know this is later going to end in tragedy for many because of his paranoia and fear of those who might usurp his throne. The wise men just absolutely believe. Where is this one? They figure it's going to be in Herod's castle. He says, no, I got to go find out. And he finds out this is Bethlehem, which is about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. So they're back on another trip. Head south of Jerusalem to Bethlehem, where they find the child, Mary. They go in, and notice what it says. Not just that they gave him gifts, but they worship him. They don't just give him honor as a king, but they worship him and bring him gifts. They show him honor and respect. The Jews have not done this. The Romans have not done this. Nobody else has done this. Only these pagan people, unbelievers, traitors, merchants. And yet they see the sign, and they come to give honor to God. How many times in our lives is it like this? The we who are most familiar with God sometimes become the most, I don't want to say blind to him, but, you know, we just, you start taking it for granted. You stop seeing things. You think you're looking, but we're really not. We stop really seeing him. And it becomes just commonplace and every day, and we're going through, I don't say going through the motions, but, you know, we're doing our stuff, and we lose some of the wonder and majesty of it all. And while all of Israel kind of just went on, their Messiah had come, he'd been born, it should be a day of celebration and rejoicing in all of Israel, and yet they're just moving on with life because they didn't notice it. But those who were outside, they did. And they didn't just notice, they come to honor and glorify God. Whatever their beliefs were, what we know from the wise men is that their hearts were not far from God. And who knows that this encounter changed them utterly, because they showed that their hearts were open to God and sensitive to his leading. Even though they were outsiders, right? Outside the faith, they were not outside the mercy and grace of God. And he was even then calling them to him. And when they heard the call, they came, because their hearts were not far from him. Meanwhile, the people who were his people didn't really hear the call and did not come, because their hearts weren't as close to God as they thought. And that's always the danger for us who are in the faith, that sometimes it can become so familiar that our hearts cease to be as close to God as we think. We need to rekindle that first love, that wonder. We need to respond to God with the same kind of urgency as the wise men did, and come and give our worship and glory to him. So this Christmas, ask God to give you fresh eyes to see him. Ask him to move your heart close to him, so that we will not miss the day of his coming. We'll be back with your prayer requests, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. Let's hear your heart, my church music. It is the prayer closet, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com, to requests in today. So let's jump right in. This request came in, this actually came in yesterday after the program. A listener asking for prayer for their daughter and son-in-law. They're having problems in their marriage, asking for continued prayer for reconciliation to work through those problems. Lord, we pray for this marriage. We lift it up to you. Lord, we know this marriage is precious to you, that your desire is for this marriage to flourish and to be a blessing to both of these people. So, Lord, we pray that you would soften their hearts toward one another, give them forgiving spirits toward one another, repentant spirits toward one another. Lord, that you would bring reconciliation to them. Whatever the issues are, the problems that they're having, help them to work through those. Help them to be make the changes that need to be made. Lord, help them to draw close to you. Lord, that they would rely upon you and upon your power as you bring healing and reconciliation and restoration back into this marriage and bind their hearts together in love. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And another listener writes in and says, prayer for my sister with pulmonary fibrosis. She's on oxygen, has major anxiety, making it difficult to do daily activities. She's believing God for her healing. Yesterday, her nurse friend told her, God's not going to heal you. Ooh, I know that through this friend, Satan was trying to steal her hope. Some days her hope is all that gets her out of bed. Please pray for the anxiety to leave, for complete restoration, for her to continue to look to God for her hope, and that he will lift her spirits and will fill her with his peace. Lord, we pray for this woman as she's struggling with this pulmonary fibrosis, struggling with her breathing. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray that you would touch her, heal her, open up those lungs, Lord. Ease that breathing. Strengthen her. But Lord, we also pray that you would strengthen her spirit, that she would not cease to trust in you, that she would not cease to put her faith in you. She would not let others discourage her, not let others' comments take her away from her faith in you or in any way diminish that faith. But we pray that you would strengthen her faith, strengthen her reliance upon you. And as you do, Lord, as you strengthen her faith in you, that anxiety and that fear would fade away. And Lord, as she passes through that you would, as that confidence in her grows and that faith in you grows, that anxiety would just melt away, Lord, and she would rest in your peace. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you have prayer requests, you can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And there's somebody here who'd be happy to pray with you. You can get it to us if it's after business hours, the office is closed. You can always email or text us at prayer@yeshome.com. That's available 24 hours a day. And if you ever need to talk to someone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can go online to our website, yeshome.com, click on the online chat now or the chat now button, and you can be connected to an online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. And that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God bless everybody. Have a merry, merry Christmas. We'll see you next week. God bless.